That's great. That's great. That's a good day. Y'all can be seated. I want to honor the moms in the house. I hope that's okay with y'all. It is Mother's Day. And I have scripture that says that they're to be honored. And that you're to honor your mother. And you say, well, you don't know my mother. Well, you don't know my mother. I was blessed with a good mom. I'm just messing with you, brother. She's sitting right here. You know what I'm saying? Okay. She's the best. You know, I thought back, Larry, about my mom, and you could probably say the same about yours, and if not, just look straight ahead. Miss Betty's ready to whoop you if necessary. But I was talking to somebody the other day, and I said, you know, I never had to overcome anything that my parents said to me or about me. That's miraculous, Mom. I mean, really, that's miraculous. If you didn't have that, I want you to aim for that. Let's aim for that, that our children, that our grandchildren would never have to overcome something that we've spoken, that we've said to them, something that would try to mark them. And, you know, my goodness, ask for forgiveness, and let's pick up and go one. And don't just apologize to God, apologize to your child. We talked about the words over our children last week, so I don't want to go back there. But I was thinking about Mom. I give Dad a lot of glory, but, you know, who would he have been without my mother? So thank you, Mom, that I didn't ever have to overcome words of discouragement or that labeled me in the wrong direction. They've always just believed in me, even when I did stupid stuff, Melina. I know you know I didn't, well, Chip probably told you some of my stupid stuff. Yeah, her dad and I are first cousins, so we got into some trouble together occasionally, but we turned out pretty good. So honor to you, women of the house. Today's message is not going to be about you, but it's going to be for you. It is going to be for everybody sitting here today, because we've been on a faith series, and what better subject for moms than the faith-filled prayer? That's where we're going today, the faith-filled prayer. Before we get started, I was thinking about Jesus' example of honoring mothers. And it's just all through the scripture, okay? God saw moms. I thought about Hagar and how he saw her and answered her prayer concerning her child. She wasn't covenant, but how he saw her. I thought about Hannah. How he heard her. You know, just the different moms in the Bible that he honored. But then I went to, and this is not part of today's lesson, but when I read this, I went back and looked at Jesus and how he honored his mother. And even when on the cross, even when suffering unimaginable pain, mental, physical, spiritual things going on while he's hanging on the cross, hanging there with my sin nature, thinking, I can't even imagine what he's thinking. He, in John 19, you don't have to turn there, but Mary was there. His mama, Jason, his mama was watching him on the cross. It says, now there stood by the cross of Jesus his mother, and his mother's sister, so his aunt, Mary the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. And when Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved, which was John, standing by, he said to his mother, woman, behold your son. He pointed to John and he said, Mary, behold your son. Then he said to John, the disciple, behold your mother. Y'all, he's in this position, suffering. You got time to call your mom. I don't know what else to say to you. I don't know what else to say to you. He looks down and he takes care of his mom. After this, let me just go back. He said to his mother, woman, behold your son. To his disciple, behold your mother. And from that hour, that disciple, John, took her to his own home. After after this, Jesus, knowing all things were accomplished. He wasn't finished until Mama was taken care of. Amen. Go home, eat lunch, call your mom. That just was so beautiful to me. And after this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished. I don't know, that's, if your mom's not honorable, not respectable, she can still be honorable because God told us, it's one of the Ten Commandments. It does something for you. It doesn't mean that you don't have to have boundaries with some moms. It doesn't mean that certain things weren't difficult or horrible or horrific. Just honor her, if nothing else, in your heart. If you're not free to have that relationship, be obedient to God and say, God, today I choose to honor her anyway because you told me to. Maybe that's for somebody today. Now for today. I really felt like the Lord wanted us to continue. And prayer, man, I don't know that we talk enough about it. We throw the word around a lot, but to think that prayer is something that we always have with us. We go into situations, we walk into circumstances, we hear about things, and we always have, we might not have our Bible with us. We might not even have the right words. We might not even know the right words to say. But we always have the availability to pray either for that person or about that person. And Natalie, when you and Donna and I got off of our Wednesday morning prayer together, we were praying for the nations and praying for people that hadn't accepted Christ. And every car I got behind that had something obscene sticker on the back of their truck or car, they got prayed for. I thought, instead of me saying, I cannot believe that, what do they think if I got my kids in the car and my kids are reading that? I couldn't go there anymore. It's like God was saying, they're just marking themselves for you to pray. Amen. It's like, hello, pray for me. I've got an obscene word. I've got something off color on my license plate or my bumper sticker. And I'm like, okay, you would not believe how many I noticed, Jeff, at stop signs, at stop lights. I'm behind them in line, and I just start laughing like, ha, you marked yourself. You know what? I couldn't talk to them. I couldn't witness to them, but prayer was with me. And I just think we forget sometimes. We complain about things, and we forget to pray about things for people. So that just really stood out to me. Prayer is something we just always have with us. We always have that ability. And prayer goes places that we can't go. And I mean that in a very broad sense. There's people I can't get to. There's places I can't go to. But there's also places in people's lives that's not available to me. Like, I can't talk to them about that yet. But I can pray about it. And my prayer can go there. The Holy Spirit can go there. God can go there. He can start at work in places that I cannot go. It can cover things that I fully don't understand. Sometimes we think we know why people are the way they are. Maybe this is about your mama today. Sometimes we don't know why people are the way. We don't have to understand. He didn't ask me to know everything about it. They're not going to tell you anyway. Right? But there's things in people that prayer can go to and God can deal with that we can't go to, and we don't have to understand because He knows that person's heart. And we can pray in the Spirit, and the Holy Spirit can pray for that person on what we don't get about them. I just don't understand them. I don't get them. I don't know how they could be this kind of mom. I don't, wherever this applies to you, you don't have to. You can send prayer there anyway. Let's look at Romans 8. Now, if you got the notes off the QR codes in the entrances, of the sanctuary, when you go to your scripture, you're going to see the definitions of some words. So I kind of apologize for that because I put King James Version, and those words are not in the King James Version, but I put them in parentheses so that you would know. I looked those up in the Greek lexicons and put those definitions of those words in there, okay? I'm going to make that plain. Romans 8, verse 24. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. That's a huge thing we need to understand. But hope that is seen is not hope. Oh, I just can't imagine them ever being. That's why you need hope. Because if they already were that way, you wouldn't have to hope for it. But hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for it? But if we hope for what that we see not, if we hope for what we can't see, Susan's version, if we hope for what we can't see, have you lost hope? In that situation, for that person, have you lost hope? I'm not asking you to answer me out loud right now. But if you've lost hope, let's stir hope back up this morning. I've had people in my life that I would have bet the family farm would not change. But God. And not because of my prayer. Can I be honest with you? I had given up on these people. But God, in what seemed like a moment, which wasn't a moment because it was somebody's prayers probably for years, not mine. I was hopeless where they were concerned. But eventually, that person gave in, and they had to. It's their wills involved, right? When you're praying for somebody else, their wills involved, and you need to know that. But my goodness, stay constant in your faithful prayers. Believe that God is at work, giving them every opportunity to make the choice and change. Because if prayers alone change somebody, everybody would be praying for people. But we get disappointed because we prayed and we don't see the person's change. Never underestimate the power of the human will. They don't have to change. But if we're not praying, they have no chance to change. So we pray. And we pray hopefully. We pray faith-filled prayers, not believing that person's going to change because of our, you know, just because we prayed, but believing that God's at work. He's working on them. He's working around them. He's given them opportunity. And we've got people here in the church that had 90-something-year-old relatives get saved this year. Praise God. I mean, eternity was right there, right? What? Why now? Because somebody remained hopeful. Have you given up hope? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience. Oh, y'all knew we had to go there, right? If we hope for what we're not seeing, but we remain hopeful, then do we with patience wait for it? You know that old saying, you know, like, wait for it. Wait for it. That is a great example. You know, Jet, I don't think he's here today, but Jet, which is our one and a half year olds, we've got 2 1.5-year-olds, has a Jack in the Box. It's actually a bunny in a box. And we were playing with it yesterday, and you stuff the bunny down in there. You know what? You can't see it. You can't see it. You start winding the little crank. Winding the little, music's going, and Jet's going. And sometimes the music kind of stops, pauses, and he's like, ah! But the bunny didn't jump out of the box yet. And so we go back to winding it. We go back to winding it. And then all of a sudden, bang! Here comes this bunny out of this box. And Jet just like, ah! I mean, it doesn't matter. We did it probably 15, 20 times. And when I was looking at this today, I'm a visual person, so sorry. You know I'm going to fit my grandkids in here somewhere because it's Mother's Day. It's legal. But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. Wait for it. Wait for it. We didn't set it over on the shelf and say, that thing's not working. Right. I'm never going to see that bunny come out of that box. Well, you just put that where you live. Amen. What have you set back and just... No, you keep the motion in motion. And this word, patience, means cheerful or hopeful endurance. I didn't make that up. I looked it up in the Greek. My mother didn't write that, even though she's preached it 155,000 times. That might be an exaggeration. 155 times. That word patience means cheerful or hopeful endurance. It means constancy. It means continuance. So if we hope for what we see not, then do we with patience, with cheerful or hopeful. That was Jet's face the whole time. It's like, it's like, he can't say it's coming, but it's like, it's coming. It's coming. When we can pray with that attitude, oh, it's coming. I don't see it. It's coming. I don't see it. Oh, but it's coming. Cheerful, hopeful, endurance, continuance, constancy. Wait for it. Wait for it. Wait means to expect. In the Greek, in this verse, expect fully and expect eagerly. That is not typically how Americans see the word wait. They're, in fact, they're waiting, expecting not to see. They're like daring it. That's not biblical waiting. Whatever you're putting your faith on, whatever you're praying about, faith-filled prayers has an expectancy, an eagerness. You are waiting to see. You're not waiting for failure. You're not waiting for that person to fail you again. You're not expecting that person to fail you again. You're not expecting that person to never receive their salvation. You're not expecting that person to continue in the sin they're in. That is just... You just got to keep in the continuance, in the constancy, in the consistency of your prayers. Amen. What if they don't? What if they don't? I would rather go out believing and hopeful and expecting than all my life to live with everything I ever desired sitting on a shelf and never seeing any of it coming to pass. And really, it's selfish to quit. You know why you're quitting? Because it's too painful for you to go through it again. Now, I'm not saying that you don't set boundaries, okay? I'm not talking about living in abuse. You set boundaries where you need to set boundaries, but prayer can be done from anywhere. Amen. There is no distance in prayer. And if you have to be separated from a person due to a situation, you can still stay close in prayer. Where did I get to? I don't even know. What verse are we on? 26. I got off on the Jack in the Box, and I got to get back. I may get me one to set on my shelf in my office. Because God has surprised me a time or two. Verse 26. Likewise. Here he's talking about hope. waiting. He says, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercessions for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. He doesn't say all things that happen are good. This is in context of you praying consistently, believing consistently. He's at work. He's at work for good. Okay? Let's go back through this. Verse 26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth. Help's a good word. Women, you ought to say amen, because you're called the helpmeet of man, right? Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth. This word helpeth means to take hold with, at the side for assistance. Now the Greek can kind of, I think it was Strong's, kind of uses some odd wording there, to take hold opposite of, but one of the versions puts it this way, to take hold with, at the side for assistance. So the Spirit wants to help you in this situation that's come into your mind. The Spirit wants to help you. The Spirit wants to take hold of that thing with you at your side to assist you. That's a good day. Well, I'm just tired of praying for them. That's because we're doing it on our own. We're doing it out of fear. We're doing it out of the flesh. And that we're not letting the Spirit help us take hold of this thing for assistance. It means cooperate. Literally, C-O dash. Cooperate. The Spirit wants to cooperate in this with you. It means to take a share in. The Spirit wants to take a share in this with you. It means to help in bearing. The Spirit wants to help you bear this. It means to help in obtaining. I like this one. The Spirit wants to help you obtain it. Amen. Help's a big word. That's from Strong's, Thayer's, Vine's, you know, just all of those Greek lexicons for New Testament words. That's what they said. And it just really brought it to life to me. He wants to help. He helps us in our infirmities. Infirmities is feebleness in mind or body. It's weakness. It's lack of strength. When you're lacking strength, Holy Spirit's just waiting to come alongside and to help you bear it. He's willing to come alongside and help you obtain it. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. I just want you to know, most of the time, we really don't know how to pray for something as we ought to, because we see everything through our lenses. And we think we know what that person's doing and why they're doing what they're doing. And you may, to some degree you may. But you know, I don't want to have a I know it all when it comes to the Spirit. Because he knows the deep things, right? He knows the deep things. He knows the man's spirit, the person's spirit, my spirit. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession. This word intercession means to make a petition on behalf of another. So the Spirit makes a petition on the behalf of another. He makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. That word uttered means inarticulate speech. They cannot. Y'all, this isn't a flippant prayer. This isn't a flippant prayer. And I'm not saying that you have to get up here and wail, and you know, but it is a sincere cooperating with the Holy Spirit. And sometimes there are no English words or Spanish words or German words to articulate what needs to come out of your spirit to intercede for this person. Verse 27 says, "And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession," or petition, "on behalf of another for the saints according to the will of God." If you're praying in the Spirit or according to the Spirit, then you are praying the perfect will of God over that situation. You cannot pray wrong. Verse 28, "And we know that all things work together." That means fellow worker and cooperate again for the good of them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. This is prayer. This, don't just throw up a prayer. I mean, in football, you know, they call it a Hail Mary, right? You're just going to throw it up there, and hopefully there's a receiver in the end zone just at the right time, at the right place. We just throw up a Hail Mary and just hope that God catches it. We're talking today about faith-filled, strategic. Like you're aiming for something, and you are strategically using your words, your prayer, your intercessory prayer time for this purpose. I want a prayer where the Spirit takes hold of this thing with me, where I don't feel like I'm alone in it, where the Spirit and I can cooperate in obtaining it. And when I'm tired of the thoughts or I'm tired of waiting, he helps me stand in consistency and constancy and hopeful endurance and expecting eagerly. And he helps me pray above what I know in my own head and what I see through my own life lenses. I want to know that he can go where I cannot go, and he can know what I do not know. And I can be assured that what the Spirit helps me pray is the perfect will of God, because sometimes I don't know in somebody else's life what that perfect will of God is. I know what my will is, but that's not what we're talking about here. We're talking about the perfect will of God for that person. That's faith-filled prayer. That's not a fear-filled prayer. And moms in the house, if there's ever an opportunity for fear-filled prayer, it's probably us. Don't wear worry like a badge. Now, my granny's generation, my granny, John Glenn, you know her, Melina, my granny could out-worry the best. Now, she was faith-filled by the time you got here. But I remember the fear days. Man, and we had this party barge rope. You know, not party barge, big barge, river barge ropes. They were like this big around. And my dad hung one from a tree in my granny's yard for us to swing on. That wasn't smart. And then one time somebody parked a camper out there by it, so we got the bright idea of getting on top of the camper and swinging on the barge rope. And my granny's standing on that back porch. Lynn, you can picture it, right? That back porch. And she's going, "One of you's gonna fall and break your neck." Well, my parents raised me up in the faith message, so I'm really surprised that I didn't turn on her. But, you know, worry was almost a form of love. But it's not. Now, if she'd have come out there and said, "No, we're not doing that. That's not smart." That's different. But the constant worrying that moms, that grandmas especially, can do over our children and grandchildren is not accomplishing what you want it to accomplish. If fear and faith are both magnets, which one do you want to use? Because if faith draws to it what it desires, then what does fear draw to it? What you don't desire. So today's message is the faith-filled prayer. And moms and grandmas, we got to learn it. And I realize there's a world of things out there that are concerning. There's a world of things out there that are concerning. And you got to use wisdom. I'm not telling you not to use wisdom. When we go to the ballpark, our eyes are on our children and our grandchildren. When you come to the church picnic, your eyes are on your children. But we're not worried. Remember, faith and wisdom are friends. But fear will mess things up. It will mess, you won't think right, you won't function right, and your children won't turn out right. You can overfear your children. I want my children to be confident, but I want them to be wise. I want my grandchildren to be confident, but I want them to be wise. This is better than y'all are amening. This is going to be a very controversial statement if you were raised religious. Just small disclaimer, parentheses at the bottom. God doesn't answer prayer according to need or desperation. God doesn't answer prayer according to need or desperation or according to how many people you have praying. Because it's not the gates of heaven that you need to bombard. All the promises of God are yes and amen. You're not bombarding the gates of heaven. Let's get 100 people praying. Let's bombard. I mean, it's like the villagers going after Shrek. Let's go get God. 100 of us are going to talk God into healing this person. That is so stupid. But religion pictures it all the time. I would rather have one person praying in faith over me than to have 100 people gossiping about what they think is wrong with me. Or even just praying in fear over me. You need to be selective in your prayer life, in your prayer partners, who you've got to pray. When we built our prayer team up here, our prayer partners that come up after service, we were very selective. Because it's important that it's faith-filled prayers. God needs you to believe. It's faith is how we transaction in the spirit. Faith is what draws what's in your heavenly account, so to speak, what God, Jesus provided for you. It's how we draw it into our life. It's faith. It's not your desperation. And I believe in calling out to God. And there's been times I have called out to God and I've been desperate. But I called out to God desperate, believing. Amen. And there's a difference. I'm not saying you don't have any emotion in your praying. But faith is what draws what God has provided. And I'm telling you, my heart's desire is for all of us to come to a place in our relationship with Him that we can pray and rest. Amen. So good. God's heart is for you to come to such a place of believing what His Word says and trusting Him that you can pray and rest. Will the thoughts still come to your mind? Yes, but you rest. No. No, I'm resting in what He promised. Now, if you missed the Sunday that Michelle Steele was here, I can't remember if it was last year or the year before, and she taught on intervention prayers, you missed an amazing service. And I want to challenge you to go online and find it. Maybe Sheree can find it and repost it. Sheree will find it and repost it for us on social media. And she also has the book, Intervention Prayers. Amazing. It's not that you never pray about the thing again. If you need to pray about it again, pray about it again. Especially when you're praying, because circumstances change in people's lives, you may get more revelation when interceding for others. For myself, when I'm praying about myself, I pray it once and then I refer back to that prayer. Right? But she covered that so well, I didn't want to re-preach that. But Sheree will repost that, or if you need it, we can see about getting it to you if you're not on social media. Go with me to 1 Peter chapter 5. I want to talk about this resting. I'm going to read it to you out of the Amplified. First Peter chapter 5, verse 7. Casting the whole, W-H-O-L-E, casting the whole of your care, all your anxieties, all your worries, all your concerns, once and for all, on Him, for He cares for you affectionately and cares about you watchfully. That's the God I serve. Amen. And we had the 2 4-year-olds boys out in the yard yesterday. These are not sets of twins. It's just our girls tend to multiply at the same time. And so we got 2 1.5-year-olds in the yard. We got 2 4-year-olds in the yard. And we'd bought them little rods and reels, the 2 4-year-olds. And they've got a fake fish on there, and Rusty's got them practicing before they actually have sharp objects on the end, because we don't want 1 4-year-old catching the other 4-year-old. And so, although Jordan Paul did bing me in the head once with the fake fish, purposefully grinning as he did it. But they're out there, and they're casting. And I'll never forget, my mother gave this example years ago. I think it was, I can't remember if it's out here in ladies' Bible study. But this is the way we picture casting. We cast it, and then when we're ready, we reel it back in. We cast it, and we reel it back in. But in Mom's example, instead of casting it and reeling it back in, she threw the whole thing. This is the difference in casting your care and not reeling it back in. Because something doesn't look like it's working. Because somebody, I mean, just know this. The parable of the sower tells us this. Satan comes immediately to steal the word that you've sown. So what's he going to do? Immediately, yucca, immediately. When you pray about something, just know if it doesn't look like anything's happened. In fact, the opposite, like you're praying over your kids, and you're praying over Red Eagle, and then, you know, for his attitude, and then he turns around and says something that you don't like. That's, just know, God's at work. Correct what you need to correct. Do what you need to do as a mom. But don't reverse what you've prayed. Because if prayers, y'all, our prayers will outlive us if we leave them said. I am living out my Granny Underhill's prayers. Y'all are living out Granny Underhill's prayers. You're living out your Nina's prayers. They're in heaven, but what they prayed here on earth, what you're praying over your children, your grandchildren, and even your great-grandchildren, Natalie, as we pray over our children every Friday, our grandchildren every Friday, even after we're gone, if we haven't reversed our words, Dad had this saying, don't separate your saying from your praying. What you pray is what you say, or you keep your mouth shut. You don't go against what you've prayed. And those prayers, in fact, this building right here, this land that we own, belonged to my great grandparents. They prayed here. My dad would pass by this land. It was grown up. He got out one day, just felt drawn to it. He'd pass it, he'd feel drawn to it. He'd pass it, and he'd feel drawn to it. He didn't know. So he gets out one day and he walks it. He keeps finding all these real estate signs, rusted. I don't even know how many real estate signs. It'd been for sale for years, but nobody could see them. They were all downtrodden in the grass and been mowed over. And so he calls about it, finds one of the most recent real estate signs. He calls about it. The guy says, no, we won't take that for it. They won't take that for it. So Dad just took a check down there. He said on their desk, he said, just think about it. It'll be good. Well, eventually, they called us, and they took it. Dad brought my great-uncle, Uncle Henry. I keep looking at my family members. Uncle Henry brought him out here. He was an honorary board member. Brought him out here to see it, and he said, oh, I was born right back there. And what? The prayers of my greats or my great-greats soaked in this soil, and generations later, I'm preaching right here? Come on. You're kidding. No, I'm not kidding you. So Uncle Henry got to do the shovel to dig the first scoop of dirt when we started getting ready to build. Your prayers are everlasting. Don't reverse your prayers. Amen your prayer, and amen means so be it. And then leave it be. It's not in my notes, but that's good. Casting all your care on Him. All your anxieties, all your worries, all your concerns, once and for all on Him. For He cares for you affectionately, and He cares about you watchfully. Your prayers don't end. They're timeless. They'll outlive you. So speak in line with them and trust that your prayer of faith is at work. Go with me to James chapter 5. And I promise to get you and your mama to the restaurant before any other denominations. The part about the denominations. Okay. James 5:13. I'm just messing with y'all. We're close to Lawerta, Todd. I think y'all can make it. I think you can beat the people across town. James 5, verse 13. King James Version. Is any among you afflicted? Is any among you afflicted? That word affliction means undergoing hardship? Let him pray. Well, this is just hard. Great, pray. And if prayer doesn't do anything, why would he say that? Are you undergoing hardship? Pray. You know what we want to do instead of pray? I know. I did it last 2 weeks ago when I got my taxes. I complained. And then Tanya taught me this whole lesson about not complaining. Is any among you afflicted? Undergoing hardship? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over them, anointing them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he has committed sins, they'll be forgiven him. By praying? Yes. Confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Now, if you were raised charismatic, you know this verse. And so let's go back over some of the wording of the effectual, fervent prayer. The effectual fervent, that means the active, at work, in action, putting forth power. The active, at work, in action, putting forth power. Let's put that in there. The effectual, fervent, active, at work, in action, putting forth power prayer. Oh, this isn't me going and complaining to God. No, the effectual, effective, right? The effectual, fervent, active, at work, in action, putting forth power prayer of a righteous man availeth much. That's what prayer is to look like, church. Now, there are times that I go as the psalmist and I talk to my daddy God. I talk to God. I talk to him like he's my father. But in that conversing with him, he brings me to this place of declaring. He brings me to this place of speaking his word. I'm not saying I don't ever sit and cry with God. I'm not there to just remain sitting and crying with God. I'm conversing with him. I'm exchanging with him. I'm expressing to him and he's expressing to me. And through that, he'll bring me to a place of praying something. Like, this is what I need you to, this is what I need. This is your scripture. You know, look for that scripture. Google that scripture of what you're needing to say in your prayers. I'm going to read this to you out of the Amplified. The earnest, heartfelt, continued prayer of a righteous man makes tremendous power available, dynamic in its working. So there's this tremendous power available that's dynamic in its working, and it is called prayer. And so here we are. No doubt God has pricked something in your heart that you need to pray about. Someone you need to pray about. Some circumstance you need to pray about. And so here sets the opportunity. This is what it looks like. It's putting faith into action and letting it do its work. You know, there's a passage, I can't remember where it is, that talks about, you know, if you've got a servant, you don't call them in to sit down. You leave them working. Our faith is living faith. The just shall live. We read this a couple of weeks ago. The just shall live by faith. By faith, the just shall live. And so we just forget sometimes to put God's word to work and let it do what it was created to do. Why did he have this penned for me? I mean, there's good literature everywhere, right? Lynn, you love to read. You love literature. You teach. There's great stories, great literature. This is more than that. Well, I've read the Bible from Genesis. Yeah, but what part of it are you applying where it needs to be applied? So when we read it, we take it personal. And when you find a passage and it speaks to something that you're dealing with in your life, take that verse and form it into a prayer. Father, I see in your word that I am supposed to cast my care over on you. And so I come to you now and I am releasing the pressure of this thing from my life. The irritation and all the harassment that it puts me through mentally, I am not putting up with it anymore. This is the faith-filled prayer. It's not weak. It doesn't have to be loud, but it can be if necessary. Sometimes you need that for yourself. Sometimes you need to say, I'm not thinking that anymore. I'm not worrying about that anymore. And sometimes you need to say it a whole lot firmer than that. But that's for you. That's not so God can hear you. So you can hear you. Which brings up an important point. Pray your prayers where you can hear them. If somebody comes to you and says, just remember me in silent prayer, I have an unspoken prayer request. If you're praying, you're speaking. It's a principle of God from Genesis 1, all the way through the scripture. When Jesus spoke to the fig tree, it's not like some movie where he walked up to the fig tree and beamed something out of his eyes and that thing died. He looked at that fig tree and he said, "No man eat fruit of you hereafter." He spoke it. If Jesus spoke it, we speak it. And I know sometimes you're in a situation where you may have to pray low in your breath, but you form those words and you let them out of your mouth because it's a principle of God that's important to faith. Don't sit and think your prayers. Jesus said, "Get behind me, Satan." He didn't think it. And more than, it's just part of what how he created the earth and how everything functions in his realm. But to sit and think something, what if everything you thought had power? There'd be dead people. I mean, like, we'd be walking in Walmart, boom, oh, somebody wished they hadn't passed them. That person with the blue cart got in their way. What if our thoughts had that much power? But your words speak your will, just like God's word speaks his will. If you find it in his word, it is his will. His word is his will. My words are to be my will. Ultimately, my words are to be his will. Amen. Father, I bless especially these women that are in this room. Father, whether they are moms of children that they have birthed, or whether they have a mother's heart towards children in their classrooms or neighborhoods, Father, for every mother heart, motherhood blessing that you've put in these women, it is a part of who you are, Father, that you saw necessary on the earth. It was not good for man to be alone. The heart of motherhood was meant to be here. And so, Father, we honor these women, whether they have birth children or not. We honor them as women and as having that part of you that is nurturing, that is caring, that sees, and that ministers into the lives of others. We just bless them, Father. I know that you want them blessed, that you want them recognized, that you say that you see them, and that you're listening for them, Father. Father, we just thank you for those moms in the room who have suffered loss in any way, whether from children who have turned away from God or whether they've gone on ahead of us to heaven. Father, we just speak a comfort to each mother's heart that you hear them, that you see them, and that you care so deeply for them. Father, we thank you that every woman here is ministered to simply because they know that you see them, that you hear them, and that you're ministering to them. We dismiss your people. We thank you for their protection, and we speak blessings on their day. In Jesus' name, the church said, amen. Amen.